What I believe is going to determine how I feel and how I act. Got it? If I believe there is a hungry, angry, grizzly bear on the other side of that door just waiting for the benediction, it's going to affect what I'm thinking about during this service. It's going to affect how I feel during this service. And if I choose to wait to the benediction, it's going to determine which door I go out of or how quickly I leave the room. What you believe, whether it's true or not, I could tell you that you could believe me, it might not be true, but whether it's true or not, what I believe determines how I'm going to feel and how I'm going to behave. That's why in the scripture, in the New Testament, the New Testament letters, very often, the first part of the letter is what to believe. Here's the truth, here's what to believe. All right? And then the last part of the letter says, now, if you really believe that, here's how you'll act. Here's how you'll feel. Here's what you'll do. And that's what we've come to in the book of Hebrews, where he has been giving us all of this doctrinal information about the new covenant compared to the old covenant and all of the glories of that. And now we enter the section where he says, now, in light of that, guess what? Guess what we get to do? Guess what? How we get to feel? And when we come to a section like this, I'm always a little nervous about giving the wrong impression, because it's kind of our default to say, okay, if I do this, then God will do that. And if I behave this way, then God will treat me this way. And we get into that kind of mode where I start thinking, I earn your favor, God. I'm a good little boy, and so you're a good God to me. And we got this little exchange going on. And if I'm bad, then things go bad for me. All I can do is offer this disclaimer. In no way am I saying that this section now then in Hebrews is telling us how we earn the favor of God or how we win God's approval. What I'm saying is, as consistently throughout the New Testament, these things, I want you to do this, are in response to the doctrine that he's taught us. Not in order to earn God's favor. We do these things because he's given us his favor in Christ. That's the difference. Why does a Christian act the way they act and feel the way they feel based on what God has taught them about Christ? It's their response. Not their response to earn God's favor, not their response to earn God's approval, but their response of a grateful heart. Thank you for what you have given me. Therefore, because of what you've given me, this new covenant that we've been talking about in Hebrews, because you've given that to me, I want to live this way. All right, that's how we're going to approach this section. We're going to start with Hebrews chapter. We're in chapter 13, but let me go back once again to chapter 12 with verse 28. Verse 28 is this great big therefore. He's finished all of this doctrine about giving us the new covenant, giving us the promise that Christ just receives us. Why? Because he loves us. And that his sacrifice is a sufficient sacrifice on our behalf. And he says, here, it's yours. Just believe it. Just embrace it. You don't have to earn the favor of God. All you have to do is believe that I earn the favor of God and I give that to you. Therefore, that's the good news. It's overwhelming. Therefore, now in light of that, what do we do? What do we do now that we don't have to do anything? What do we do now that Christ has already made sufficient and everlasting payment for our sin? Now what do we do? Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, we receive this kingdom. It's the kingdom of Christ. We don't build this kingdom. Often you'll hear that phrase, oh, we're building the kingdom of God. No, we're not. We're receiving the kingdom of God. That's what we do when we're here. We're receiving the good news from Christ. We're receiving the blessing of Christ. We sing songs. Why? Because we've received this kingdom that Christ has made us part of. The kingdom that says you're related to God forever because of my sacrifice on your behalf. When we pray, we're receiving, we're submitting ourselves to God and receiving his influence into our life. When we come to the Holy Communion table, we're not
coming to dedicate ourselves again.
Why would you eat the bread? That's a sign of dedication. Why drink the... No, they're not signs of dedication. They're receiving from Christ. Remember me. I'm with you. My sacrifice makes you eternally and forever clean. I'm with you still. All of the things of your life that you have to go through, I'm here just like this bread is here. Just like you receive it into your body, I'm closer to you than that. And just as you remember that my blood cleanses you from your sin, it's still cleansing you from your sin, even now. Even there when you were listening to the preacher and you shouldn't have been, and that was a terrible sin. Now I'm cleansing you constantly. That was a joke, by the way. I saw a lot of serious faces look back. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom. That's what our life is about. Not building a kingdom, but receiving from him his kingdom. He builds it. He said, I'll build my church. He said, he's taking care of that. That's the joy of being a Christian. You're just receiving from the God and his blessings to us. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, who knows how long this government's going to last? Governments come, governments go, philosophies come, philosophies go, health comes, health goes. Everything can be shaken. Nothing lasts except this kingdom. What is it? It's the kingdom of Christ. I made my payment for your sin. You're okay with God because of me. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, what do? Let us show gratitude. Isn't that about all you can do? When somebody gives you something, here, it's yours. What are you going to do? Well, here, let me pay you for it. No, I said it's yours. Well, here, let me do something. I gave it to you. Now it's yours. What are you going to do? Thank you. Thank you for giving me what I could not get on my own. Thank you for securing for me the favor of God that I could not secure. Thank you for making sure by your sacrifice I am clean and forgiven. What can I do? Be grateful. Your gratitude is the life you live that says to God, thank you. If I really believe that this kingdom has been given to me and I just receive it, it affects how I feel. I feel clean. I feel forgiven. I feel grateful. And it affects what I do. I live my life. I walk for the children. Why? The 8 girls. Why? Because I'm so grateful. What God has done for me, I want these girls to have a chance to hear that gospel message too. I want them to be able to receive the kingdom. So we rest. What do we do? Why do we sing? We're grateful. Why do we endure the sermons? We're grateful. We want to hear more of it. That's all you could do. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service. That's the motive for all of the service we give to God. If it's not gratitude, forget it. If it's, well, I'm helping build the kingdom, you misunderstand. You misunderstand your importance and your ability. But if I do it because I'm grateful to God, that's acceptable service. We offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. The idea of reverence is ultimate respect. Oh, God, when I think about what I am and who I am, and I think about this new covenant you've made with me as a gift to me, I just respect you so much. And that's going to change the way I feel about God. He's not just a guy in the sky. He's somebody. I respect you. And in my behavior, because of my respect, I'm going to do what honors you. What do? You're grateful. You live a life of gratitude and ultimate respect for God. And what's the last thing? Awe. That's a wonderful thing to give God. Awe. I can't believe it. this world, you created it? This universe that we can't even comprehend, it's like the tip of your finger of your handiwork. Oh, God, you said that everything that occurs in my life is by your sovereign design? Really? That person I met this morning that was so snarky, that's part of your design for me? And your design is good? And it's wise? I can't believe I merit that, but I know I don't merit it. I can't believe that's all, I'm receiving all of that from you. What can you do in light of all of this doctrine, the indicatives that tell us what God has done, and then you come to the imperatives, what he wants us to do in response. All of what we do the rest of our lives is that. We live a life of gratitude, thank you, of reverence, I submit to you, of awe, I can't believe it. I'm amazed at what you do for me. Verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. That's the way we live. And if we choose another way, he says, that displeases me. And I refine everything, and I destroy that which ought not to be. And if I say to him, I'll do it my way, my all the ability I put into doing it my way counts for nothing. This new covenant, if rejected, what's left is consumed, and that could be me. All right, what does it look like then? If I live a life of gratitude, of respect, and of awe, what does that look like? If I really believe that, then it's going to look like something in the way I feel, and it's going to look like something in the way I behave. Verse 1 of chapter 13 says, let love of the brethren continue. That's one of the things that it looks like. If you're living a life that really respects God, a life that really is amazed at God, a life that's really grateful to God, you're going to be loving the things he loves. What does he love? He loves all these people sitting right here.
Well, I sure don't.
You got a little kink in your gratitude or in your respect or in your awe. It looks like a person who lives that way loves these people. Of course, we talked about that last week, so we'll get to today's sermon eventually. Verse 2. This is what it looks like. We're continuing to talk about what does it look like if I live a life of gratitude, reverence, and awe. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Hospitality is just, you know, I want to be friendly. I want to welcome you into my life. I want to welcome you into my home. I want to welcome you into what I have. I want to share that with you. Now, you got to remember the historical context here. These were people who, they didn't have these conveniences we have. If they wanted to go to Grant, they wouldn't say, hey, let's go to Grant this afternoon and have lunch. What? Yeah, and then we'll be back to... How long would it take to walk to Grant? That's how they got to places. They walked. So if you were going to go to Grant, you wouldn't just go over there for lunch and come back. You would make all these provisions because who knows how long it's going to take you to get to Grant. And once you got to Grant, there's no Holiday Express there. What do? You count on, and particularly these Hebrews who were dispersed out of their country and they were living as aliens because they were being persecuted. When you got to Grant, you would look for somebody. Who can I trust? Who is maybe a believer in Christ like me? Who won't take advantage of me? He says, make yourself available to those people. Be on the lookout for them. And show hospitality to them. Come on over to my place here. Yeah, you can have a nap here. Whatever. All right, since we don't operate quite that way, what's the meaning for us? I take it, keep your antenna up for what God... people God brings into your life that you can actually help out in some way. Be hospitable toward them. Why? Because you're grateful. for what's been done for you, and because you respect what God says is important. And you say, okay, if you say it's important for me to be hospitable to people, I'm going to keep my antennas up for those people you bring into my life. Now, why do you think he asks us to do that? Do you think, I think some people think, that what God wants to do is just have a little group of really good people, right? And so he gives all of these commands. I want you to do this, show hospitality, show love, blah, 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 blah. Do all that. So I can point to this whole circle of people and I can say, look at there, there's a bunch of good people. You know why he asks us to do these things? Out of gratitude and reverence and awe. He wants to bless us. He wants you to have the blessing of loving somebody else the way you've been loved. And he wants your love to bless those. But that's what he's about. I want, that's what he is love. He says, I want you all to experience what I am. I want you all to have this joy of living a life of love. And that comes out of gratitude, reverence, and awe for me. It's like this. I debated whether I'd do this or not, but it's like, you know, here's a nozzle, and you put it on the garden hose, and then you open it up, and out comes the water. Why does God give me these commands? He wants his love to come through me. And what I believe up here determines who I'm going to be able to bless, who I'm going to be able to help. His love, don't let it get stopped here, turned off, because of what? Ingratitude, disrespect, a lack of amazement at this God. He says, no, I want it to flow. I want my love to flow through you to the rest of the world so that I can point to a world that can say, I've experienced the love of God. Not, well, there's a bunch of good people who do these, keep all these rules. Christianity is not about morality. Christianity is about letting the love, which is God, we experience his love. That's what it's about. And then we let that love flow out through us because of what we believe about this God and because of how we respect this God as we walk around and all of these people in our lives. Not only are we blessing them, but we get the enrichment of having given out what God has given to us. It'll make your life rich. It'll make your life exciting. That's why he gives us these commands. That's why he says this is the proper response. Don't neglect to show hospitality for strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. We won't go to that Genesis passage because we're out of time, but you probably remember the story of Genesis where, let's do go there. I'll cut something else out. It's a great story. This is Genesis 18. Now, the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the tent, the tent door in the heat of the day. So here he is. He's not doing anything special, right? He's not, but he does have his antennas up. It's hot, right? So you come outside of the tent, you sit at the door of the tent. That's how God comes to you. When you're sitting at the door of the tent, when you're just carrying on your ordinary, everyday activity, keep your eyes open, your spiritual eyes, because God is not inactive, and he's going to be working in your life when you're doing your ordinary things, just like he did with Abraham. He's sitting by the door of the tent in the heat of the day, and when he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. Here's his hospitality coming out. Here's three strangers. He runs. Why does he run? I take it that because he was so grateful to God and he so revered what God revered. And God had said, I want you to be hospitable to people. Ah, get a chance. I get a chance to live out my gratitude. I give a chance to live out my respect for God. I get a chance to live out this amazing relationship I have with God. So he runs out. We ought to be just like that. God, I want that blessing you have for me that's going to enrich my life when I'm good to somebody else, because that's important to you. I want to experience that. I want to experience my life as one that showers people with your love and doesn't cut your love off from people. Guess what? If you know this story, you're already amazed at it. One of those people was God. You think those people you meet and that come into your life or that are already in your life, do you think they're just people? Or do you think, as this story might lead you to believe, that God is there in them simply because they've been made in the image of God? Simply because God said, I'm making you at this time and this place to be like this. Why would I cut myself off from that? Why would I cut myself off from my life being enriched by God himself as he teaches me through other people, as he disciplines me through other people, as he blesses me through other people? Wow, doesn't that make life seem, I don't want to say magical because it's not magical, but it is supernatural. We're not just people who are machines who happen to evolve and whatever works out, works out. We are people created by God, for God, to bless the world and be blessed by the world. Doesn't that make life seem, whoa. Who's that kid? Whoa, used to say that all the time on TV. Okay, let me just stop there and say this, that if I believe what we've been studying about in Hebrews, how good God is to me by making that unilateral covenant, I give my sacrifice, I love you, I will be with you forever, and your sins are forgiven. Enjoy. If I really believe that, believe it, it will change the way I feel. The guilt will go away. The sense of amazement at life will go away. Not perfectly, of course, we grow in this. And the realization that my life has been designed by God to experience his love and let that experience go out as I love you, as I am hospitable toward you, in all the ways that God can show me how I will show back to him my gratitude to him, my reverence for him, and my awe that I'm a part of this supernatural life. And now, Heavenly Father, it is our desire to respond to all this doctrine that we hear, all these indicatives about what you've done for us. It is our desire to fulfill the imperatives, our response to your love. We really do want to be grateful. We really do want to be reverent and respect you in our lives. And we really do want to know that our lives aren't just animals living out a few years, but we really are part of your great plan to love this world. We know you've loved us. Help us to keep that flow going from us, from you to us, to our brothers, to the strangers, to the people you love, to the world you love. Now we come to this table. not to bring you anything except our gratitude. We bring that to you when we come to receive this communion. And we bring to you our reverence, our respect for who you are and what you do. And we bring to you that awe. We're just amazed that you make us part of your great love work on this earth. We come to receive from you. We receive from you the promise that because Christ came in a fleshly body, a real human, he could really suffer on our behalf and make payment for our sins. And we come to you to receive of the message of the cup that his blood really does, because of who he was, his blood really does make us clean in your eyes forever. We come to receive that. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. And now I ask those who are going to serve us if they would please come forward at this time. It takes us just under 10 minutes. We could do it much more efficiently. We could already have little packets of bread and juice in the pews, and you could just open it up and we'd be out in 5 minutes. We choose to do it this way because it gives us time, sacred time, time where we can think about the blood of Christ, the body of Christ given as sacrifice on our behalf. We can think about being grateful to him. We can think about, oh God, where can I, because of my gratitude, where can I show you reverence more? Where can I show you more respect? And where can I be more amazed about you in my life? Just take the time. You say, well, I can't think of all that. Fine. Just begin to think it a little bit. Well, my mind wanders. Fine. Slap yourself and bring it back. We're all human. You just, you know, your mind wanders. You bring it back. Because this is sacred time. Where else? Where else does this happen? That we come with God's people to receive an unshakable kingdom. It's worth our time. It's worth our thought.